You've tuned into Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck, and we are in Dallas, Texas, and we are at Herb's house, and we are in Genesis 22, and we're in verses 4 and 5. So that really defines where we are, Kent. And the title of this lesson is Unwavering Faith, Unwavering Faith. And we are looking at when God tested Abraham and called him to give up his son, his only son, Isaac, and to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. And so I want to read verses 4 and 5. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes. So it took him 3 days to approach Mount Moriah. Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you."
Hmm.
So, Kent, this is big time faith. And Abraham is going to go all the way with God. And, Kent, we have heard it said, you know, it's not how you start the race. Hmm. It's how you finish the race that counts. And Abraham could have started out on this journey, and then his knees began to buckle, and his faith began to sag, and his shoulders begin to get heavy.
Mm.
And he begins in his mind to rethink what he is committed to do. And he could have slowed down. He could have done a U-turn and gone back home with Isaac. But the fact of the matter is, we read here that he tells his two servants, "You stay here at the base of Mount Moriah, and my son and I are going all the way to the top, and we're going to worship God there." And what's amazing is, he says, "We're going to return."
Mm-hmm.
Both of us are going to return.
He says that, yeah.
Now,
We
didn't misread that. I mean, it's hard to get our mind around this and our arms around this.
Yeah.
That Abraham had such strong faith that God, if God has to, God will raise Isaac from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
If I put him to death, God will make him alive again. But yeah, we're both going to come back.
Yeah.
Or God is going to intervene somehow, some way.
Mm.
But the two of us are going up this mountain, and we're going to worship God at the top of the mountain, and I'm going to sacrifice him on the altar, and we're both going to return back to where the two men servants are at the bottom of the hill. Now, that is unwavering faith, Kent. He's going all the way on this thing. There are no breaks on his faith. There's no U-turn here. He's just going to proceed and leave it in the hands of God to work out however God is going to work this out. So, Kent, this is the kind of faith I need. This is the kind of faith I know you have and you need. We all need more of this kind of faith. So, let's talk about...
First of all, I don't have this kind of faith.
Ha!
And I, you know, I think of like when you go to the doctor and they measure your levels of this. My faith doesn't even like it's non-detectable. It's non-detectable compared to this faith.
Yeah.
And I think of when people are going through trials. Like if I were here, I'd be saying, "Great job, and you can do it." But when it's me,
yeah, yeah,
I just think I don't have this much faith, and I obviously would love to have more faith. So talk about, Steve, can you talk about, aren't there different measures of faith, different levels of faith that all of us have, and our faith can grow? Like, we have to assume he had an incredible amount of faith.
Yeah.
And yet some of us, like myself, I'm concerned I don't have this much faith. How does that work?
Yeah. Well, I think it works in various ways. And what came to my mind a couple seconds ago to say you know, we say major surgery is when it's your surgery.
Yeah, exactly.
And a major test is when it's your test.
Yes.
This was a major test.
Yes.
For any of us, but especially for Abraham. Well, I think the way that we begin to proceed in this direction, to have faith like this, it really begins with faith in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And God has spoken to Abraham numerous times before this. And he has seen the trustworthiness of God and mm-hmm. the veracity of his word. Second, he has seen God come through in the past.
Yeah,
he has seen God carry him through difficult circumstances.
So you think he's reflecting back on how God's been faithful in his life?
On the faithfulness of God through circumstances,
mm-hmm.
the faithfulness of God in his word.
Mm-hmm.
The faithfulness of God in his marriage and with Sarah and to provide this son. I mean, he has seen an ongoing succession of evidences of God's faithfulness in his life. And so he has every reason to trust God as long as he doesn't try to outthink God and as long as he doesn't try to rationalize why he shouldn't be trusting God. You know, there's a simple childlike faith that is required. And I think sometimes we who have, let's say, studied the Word of God at some length and have sat under a lot of preaching and teaching, it's almost like we need to be able to come back to a childlike faith and not try to bring all kinds of theological nuances to bear.
That's good.
I mean, will we just simply take God at his word?
Wow.
Will we just simply step out by faith and obey?
Just trust.
And not bring in too much cross-examination in our mind. Just trust God.
Mm.
And so that's what Abraham is doing here, and that's what you and I must do. And it comes in all different shapes and forms.
So I mentioned this, but certain people have more faith than others?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we can exercise it, right? We can grow in our faith.
Yeah.
So how does all that work? we have a whole 2 minutes for you to explain that.
Yeah, to answer that profound question. Yeah.
But if I want to grow in my faith, if our listeners want to say, I want to grow in my faith. What do I need to do? How do I grow in my faith? How do I become more like Abraham?
Wow, that's just such a huge question. You know,
now you got a minute 50.
Yeah. Well, it really is being in the Word and for the Word to be in us.
That's good.
It's not just head knowledge,
mm-hmm.
but it's heart possession of this truth.
That's good.
It's being faithful in the little things
mm-hmm.
where God has placed you. It is having strong Christians around you
mm-hmm.
who are living a life of faith and they encourage you
mm-hmm.
and there's a mutual iron sharpening iron relationship.
So when we see others go through things, it says, I can do that too.
Absolutely. And I think that it's also moving out with the Lord, not just being stationary in your Christian life. And it really involves moving out, pursuing the will of God, serving the Lord. I think when we are stagnant, we're paralyzed, and it's hard for us to trust God.
That's good.
As we're moving out,
that's good.
It's easier for us to, I think, move forward and roll into situations as they're unfolding by trusting God. Obviously, there's 10 more things, 20 more things that we could say. I don't want to make it too complex. And really, not, I'd put it this way, only glancing at myself, but gazing at God and Christ. We have a tendency to be preoccupied with ourselves and only glance at God ever so often. If you really want to have strong faith, you're not going to have a paralysis of analysis of yourself.
Yeah.
But you're going to be locked in on God, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith.
That's good.
He authored faith in us, and he will perfect and mature faith in us as we look to him. And so I think the lesson for us to take from this is we really need to be looking to God and looking to Christ.
Yeah.
And we have a tendency, I think, to be too focused on ourselves.
Amen.
And so be looking to God. Have a God-centered gaze and a God consciousness that's growing in your life, and that will strengthen your faith, and in Christ will perfect your faith. Well, may the Lord bless you. May Genesis 22 be a passage of scripture that speaks to your life right where you are. So I leave you with that, and may God greatly bless your walk with him. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.